Again, Jesus told a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear man, nor fear God, nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming to me. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give them justice and speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for posing that question. For certainly as you were on your way from the transfiguration to the cross, as we are on our way through our kingdom chronicles, our instruction on what it means to be a kingdom person, Lord, we are being told by you over and over and over and over again that the way of the cross is not easy. That the way of the cross is not comfortable. That the way of the cross involves suffering and submission and surrender. That the way of the cross involves us putting aside our own agendas and listening to your word, for your word is truth. Lord, help us to know that you call us to a life of perseverance. We will never fully understand why you chose to put us here at this time in history. But Lord, we trust in your wisdom and your divine providence, and we pray that you will help us to understand why you have called us to this place at this time with these gifts for this purpose. And Lord, we believe that you know the answer to the question that you posed. And the answer is, thankfully, by your grace, yes. And we are your answer. We are the faithful people who trust in your Spirit and his power. And we trust in you for all things. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to think for a moment, ponder this question. What do you think that unjust judge that neither feared God nor respected man, what do you think he said about that woman when he was talking to other justices and other people at coffee, around the water cooler, whatever it was in those days? What do you think he said about that woman? Pardon me? A nuisance. I think that's a nice way of putting it, yeah? She's a pain in my neck and other parts of my anatomy. Pardon me? Annoying. Mm-hmm. A pest. Okay. Anything else? Persistent. That was nice. You're nice. That's nice. Anybody else? Yeah. She drives me crazy. That's what I was thinking. Drives me crazy. It's interesting because Jesus says, well, you know, he says, listen to what the unjust judge says. The unjust judge says, I'm going to give her justice because she keeps bugging me and she's going to wear me down with this consistent perseverance and tenacity. Isn't that what he's saying? I'm going to do it because she's going to wear me down. Brothers and sisters, I want to be honest with you. I think there are many people around water coolers and having coffee that wonder about us Bible-believing Christians and say some of the same things that they say that judge might have said about the woman they say about us. Good. Good, she says. I hope so. You not think that that's possible? They wonder, what is the matter with these people? Can't they get with the program? What's the matter with these people? Don't they understand that we're evolving and that things are so much better now than they ever have been? What is the matter with these people? Why do they keep coming back to issues like life? We're deplorable. Yes. What is the matter with these people? Why do they keep coming back to this Bible? The Bible is an old book. It's irrelevant. What is their problem? Why are they so persistent? Why are they persevere in this? Why are they tenacious? Why do they keep coming back to this thing over and over and over again? You think they might say these type of things about us? And I agree with you. I think, yes, I hope so. Because isn't that what St. Paul told young Pastor Timothy? He said, the word of God is the scriptures are God-breathed, useful for what? Instruction, teaching? Pardon me? Correction? Training in righteousness? You miss anything? Teaching we mentioned? Yes. That we may be complete, that we may be perfected, that we may be who God wants us to be. And what does he say if we are not faithful? And that's why he posed this question to the disciples after he said about the persistent widow or the woman, that she kept going back to the unjust judge and she was persistent and tenacious and kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Finally, the judge says, enough! I'm going to do even though I don't want to, even though it's not against my desire, even though I don't care if it's God's will or man's will, I'm going to do it because she's bugging me. And he says, if the judge acts that way and he's unjust, how much more will your Father who loves you, who gives you everything, who gave you life and all your gifts and everything, how much more will he answer your prayers and quickly? And yet when we're in this time when it doesn't seem like God is answering us quickly, when we're called to persevere, when we're called to be persistent, when we're called to continue on and be faithful because he's faithful, right? We're called to be faithful and yet there's sometimes when we pray for things, we live in an age where how many of us get frustrated when things don't happen quickly? Come on, be honest. You guys are so much better than me. I mean, I'll give you an example. This morning I got here, for some reason on my Word, when I want to print something, it won't print the first time. I always have to do it a second time. I know Johannes is going to fix this someday. But it won't print unless I do it twice. I have to tell you, it's only a matter of seconds. There was a time in my life where I would press print and I could go and have coffee and come back and it was still printing. Remember those days? But we've got so accustomed to having things done speedily, right? We want things right now. We're that type of generation. It is amazing because I was getting so frustrated that I had to push print twice. It's hard for us because we expect things to happen quickly. So when it says that he's going to answer them and speedily, we just get like really excited about it. Okay, Lord, let's be persistent. But the problem is, persistence automatically assumes that it's going to take a while, right? Perseverance is something you talk about when you have a long journey ahead. So brothers and sisters, we are in a time where we are going through a lot of struggles, right? Would anybody argue that we are not in a kind of a tumultuous time in our country, in our generation? We are called to persevere. We are called to be like that woman. We are called to be persistent, tenacious, truthful. Because isn't that what St. Paul told young Pastor Timothy? He said, the Bible is God-breathed. It's good for teaching, rebuking, reproving, correcting, training up, all these things, right? But the problem is, without us, how is that word going to get out? I've said this before. I don't understand why God didn't use his vast accumulated power and just set up these big screens everywhere and say, I am God, listen to me. Don't you think that would have been much more effective? Except if you ever tried to announce things in the media and you find out that if you put up signs, eventually people ignore them. How many of you could honestly say that there are signs on 94 when you're driving that you see every day that eventually you ignore? So I know why he didn't do that. He decided that the best way to get the word out, the best way for the scripture that is God breathed, to get it out into the lives of people was through you and me. Sometimes I wonder if that was the best plan. I'm talking about me here. How about you? Sometimes I wonder. You couldn't have come up with a better model, better strategy. And God says, no. I came up with the strategy because I have faith in you. I have faith in you. I know that you are capable of things that you can't even imagine, because when I put my spirit in you, you can do amazing things. Isn't that awesome? When we're willing, he is able. When we, when we do what it says here, and we're persistent, what does he say? Preach the word in season and. Ever wonder what out of season means? What does it mean? Oh, you wondered what it meant. Okay, I thought maybe you had an answer for me. What's the matter, Hannah? You know everything. At least that's what you keep telling me. Out of season. Out of season, when things that you are doing may not seem popular, may not seem in, may not seem like they're really the thing to do, that's when you preach the word. When it's not popular, when people are saying about you, well, you know, you are so old-fashioned, you are so out of sync, you are so beyond, get with the program. That's when it's out of season. It's in season when people are waiting for it. You know, we had a speaker at the pastor's conference that was originally from Nigeria, but now she just came from serving the church in Sheffield, where a few of us went to St. Thomas in Sheffield. And she's now in the United States, and she's going around telling people that it's so exciting when you get to that tipping point in the country where you're 3 or 4 generations removed from the church. And I'll tell you the reason why. She was saying that in England, where your great-grandfather stopped going to church because he got mad at that priest, and then your grandfather didn't go to church because, of course, his dad didn't go to church, and then your dad didn't go to church because, of course, his dad and his dad didn't go to church, and now you're not going to church because you have no clue what that thing on the hill is, besides that the government put it there. That's England, okay? And it doesn't have any effect on your life. It has no effect on your life. The queen is a defender of the faith, but she doesn't know what that means any more than anybody else. So, it doesn't have any effect on you. And so you have these 4 generations removed, and all of a sudden, someone comes and one-on-one over coffee or over a discussion group or over pizza, I don't know, whatever, fish and chips, okay, we're talking English. And one-on-one, they say to you, do you know Jesus loves you? You know that he died for you? You know he rose again for you? You know he wants to give you his Holy Spirit and wants to empower you with gifts that you haven't even experienced yet? Do you know that he has great things in store for you? Do you know that he loves you deeply and that he wants you to succeed? Do you know that he wants to give you and make you, as he put it, full, complete? And all these people, she was talking about this at the church we were in. We were there for a Sunday evening service. She's talking about how the young people are so excited about this. It's such a new thing for them that they're crowding in and they're sitting on the floor because there's no room in the seats anymore. And she's talking about how America is going to get to that point, that tipping point, where it's going to be, where Christianity is going to be something new instead of cultural. Where people are going to think, well, I don't need to go to church because I know what the church thinks. Because I know what the church is all about. I know what Jesus is all about. She was saying that Nigeria went through this and had a great revival. She said that Britain is going through that and having a great... She says, it's going to come here. And I'm like, cool! And then I thought to myself, how sometimes your first reaction isn't always the best. I thought to myself, what does that mean? That means that it's going to be tough and out of season for a while, isn't it? It's going to be tough, and we're going to be called to persevere. But are you willing to be the answer to Jesus' question? Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he returns? Are you willing to be the yes to that question? The yes answer to that question, because if we are faithful, if we persevere, if we do what we're called to do, if we preach the word in season and out of season, then there will be faithful people here when that shift happens, when that tipping point happens. And I hope it doesn't, to be honest with you, only because I like comfort. I do. I like car seats that warm up in the wintertime. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm confessing here. I mean, for all those years at minus 40 that I got in the car and it was like a brick, I like those cars, okay? I like those seats. And steering wheel too, yeah. Yeah. I'm getting wimpy. I know, Dad. I mean, I'm not living in Canada anymore. I'm getting wimpy. But I like it. I like comfort. I like it when people like me. I like to be elected. I like to do things. I like to be popular, if that's even possible. But when we preach the word of God, the truth, to a people that only want to hear what their tickling ears want to hear, what their itching ears want to hear, they only pick people to like and to listen to who agree with them rather than listening to what is the truth. Are we going to find that we're going to be like that woman? That we're going to have to be persistent and tenacious? Maybe be disliked? Maybe persecuted? You see why that could happen? And yet I want to tell you that the promise is that God will use us as individuals. That's why I said it's maybe not the best plan the way I think, but God chose it, so it's got to be the best plan, that he has chosen to use you and you and you and you and you. You? You? Way back there, you? Yeah, you. He's chosen us to be his hands and feet. He's chosen us to be his mouth. He's chosen us to tell people the truth, even if they don't want to hear it. He's chosen us to go one-on-one and share with people what really matters. And he promises to be with us always, even to the very end of the age. He says, I'll never leave you. I'm going to be there. I'm going to give you the words to speak. I'm going to let you know my power. So brothers and sisters, can we be persistent? Can we be tenacious? No? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we persevere? I think we can. Because I think we're the answer to Jesus' question. And the answer is yes, by his grace. Yes, because we're faithful. And more importantly, yes, because he is faithful. Amen.